that they will have ears to hear, open ears to hear, an open heart to receive your word. Because we know that your word will never ever return to you void. Hallelujah. Glory to your name. Glory to your name. Now, Father, I ask you right now to speak through my mouth, think through my mind, use this vessel, Heavenly Father, for your glory. Father, we're here to glorify your name, and we thank you for it in Jesus' mighty name. And the church said,
amen.
Amen. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. All right, let's go back once again to the book of Revelation, the third chapter. Revelation, the third chapter. And hallelujah, we are beginning, well, we began at the seventh verse, which is the letter to the church in Philadelphia. And so we want to visit that some more. As Jesus began to speak to the church of Philadelphia, as well as the other churches, he identified himself in different ways. To the church of Philadelphia, he identified himself as being holy, true, and one who has the key of David. In other words, he has all authority. Amen.
Amen.
Matter of fact, Jesus himself said, all authority has been given to me in heaven and in earth. Amen. Praise the name of the Lord. And he also complimented this church, the church at Philadelphia. He told them, he says, listen, you have a little strength. You have a little strength, so go ahead and build on what you have. Will you look at somebody and tell them to build on the strength that you have? Amen. Amen. You'll never get stronger unless you build on what you already have. And so Jesus told them that they have a little strength, but he encouraged them to build on that, get closer to God, become a stronger believer. Amen. And then he told them, he commended them for keeping his word. They kept his word, even when it was hard. They kept his word. And I want to encourage each and every one of you, don't ever turn your back on the word of God. And don't ever try to change it to suit man. Amen.
Amen.
Glory to God. They kept his word. And then he also commended them because they did not deny his name. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Now, he commended them also for perseverance. They kept pressing. They kept pressing forward. Now, understand that what I'm ministering to you tonight is not a history lesson. Okay? Now, we know the Bible is history too, but the Bible is the living word of God. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
And so what we are learning is not only for the churches that Jesus spoke to then, but it's also for you and I today.
Amen.
Amen. What is God saying to me today? Hallelujah. Praise God. Now, let's look at verse 10. Let's drop down to verse 10. I'm not going to read the whole thing. But in verse 10, Revelation 3, verse 10, this is what Jesus said. Because you have kept my command to persevere, I also will keep you from the hour of trial, which shall come upon the whole world to test those who dwell on the earth. Read it again. Because you have kept my command to persevere, I will also keep you from the hour of trial. In the King James Version, it says the hour of temptation that's coming upon the whole world to test those who dwell on the earth. Now, I believe this has a reference to the Great Tribulation. Amen? Because there is a trial coming. There's a time coming. Jesus talked about it. That's going to be different than anything before. It's going to be a rough time. It's going to be a rough time. Hallelujah. But having said that, well, first of all, let me read 10 again, and then I want to tell you something. It says, because you have kept my command to persevere, I also will keep you from the hour of trial or temptation, which shall come upon the whole world to test those who dwell on the earth. Now, I looked up the Greek word for from, F-R-O-M, and it's E-K. Well, that's the way I see it, E-K, ek. Because I found that mighty interesting. Keep us from the hour of temptation or the hour of trial. And ek means out of or away from. Out of or away from. I believe the Word of God clearly teaches, excuse me, I believe it clearly teaches that the church of the Lord Jesus Christ will not go through the Great Tribulation. Amen. Now, not everybody believes that, but I think it's pretty clear. As a matter of fact, let's turn to the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Excuse me. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Now, I'll come back later on, and we'll read some in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, which talks about the catching away of the church or the catching away of the saints, excuse me, of God. But I want to go to chapter 5 first, and I want you to notice something here, verse 9. It says, for God did not appoint us to wrath. How many of you have had a dental appointment? Yeah, probably most of us in here at one time or another had a dental appointment, or you had a doctor's appointment, or you had some other type of appointment. Now, they had it written down in their records that you were supposed to be there at that appointment at a certain day and a certain time, right? Because you had an appointment. In other words, that was your appointed time to get your teeth cleaned or for your doctor's appointment. And when that time came, they were looking for you to be there and keep that appointment. Okay? So we see here then in the Word of God that God did not appoint. There is no appointment for the wrath of God. And by the way, the great tribulation is the wrath of God, especially the second half of 3.5 years. It's 7 years total, according to the scriptures. But it says God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Who died for us, listen at this, who died for us that whether we wake or sleep. Now notice that, well, let me finish it. Who died for us that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Now notice something here. Whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. I believe this is a reference back to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, where Paul says, not all of you going to sleep or die. Some of you will be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. And we'll come back to this later on. But notice what he said here. Put it on the screen, verse 10 for me, please. 1 Thessalonians 5:10. Who died for us that whether we wake or sleep, what? We should live together with him. So if he come back while we're awake, he's going to catch us up to be with him. If we die before he comes back, we're going to be with him. All of us are going to be with him together. Hallelujah. Why? Because he has not appointed us to wrath. Hallelujah. And now listen what verse, look, I got my Bible open, but go ahead and verse 11 on the screen for me. I want you to see it. Now just leave verse 11 up there just a moment. Now let me read verse 9 and 10 again, and then we'll go on into verse 11. For God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Verse 11, therefore do what? Comfort each other and what? Edify one another, just as you also are doing. Now, you have to understand in 1 Thessalonians here, he's talking about the catching away. A great part of that is talking about the catching away of the church and comforting one another, bringing comfort. Let me tell you something. My goodness, if you know you got to go through the great tribulation, I tell you what, that ain't real comforting. And so Paul had to write to the church there at Thessalonica because there was some bad information, wrong information getting out. So he had to make sure that the believers knew the truth. Hallelujah. So he has not appointed us to wrath. And I believe this is what Jesus is referring to when he was speaking to the Philadelphian church, because you just can't keep it back there. He's speaking to us now. He's speaking to us now. He told the church, and he's telling us, that he'll keep us from the hour of temptation that's going to come upon all the earth. Hallelujah. Brothers and sisters, I'm walking with God. I'm walking with God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. But see, let me tell you something. We're told to comfort, therefore comfort each other. Why? Well, Titus tells us, turn to the book of Titus. The second chapter. I'll just begin reading at verse 11, Titus 2:11. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. Praise the name of the Lord. Teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this in the present age. Now look at verse 13. Look at verse 13. Matter of fact, put verse 13 on the screen. Read it out loud on three. One, two, three. Looking for, that's what we should be doing, looking for our blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, the King James Version call it the blessed hope. Well, it does in the New King James too. Calls it the blessed hope. I have a blessed hope because my God hadn't appointed me to wrath. Glory to God. You're still here. All righty, let's go on a little further. Let's flip back to 1 Corinthians. The 15th chapter. 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter. And look at verse 51. And this is the Apostle Paul writing to the Corinthian church, but Again, we have to understand it's not just the Corinthian church. Amen. It's for all of us. Behold, I tell you a mystery. Why is it a mystery? Because not everybody understood it. They still don't understand it today. Many don't. But it's a mystery that was kept, all of that. In Jesus' teaching, even his teaching concerning the end times, the Jewish people didn't understand very much when it came to the church. See, we are now living in the church age. You hear me? We are living in the church age. This is the church time. That's the reason we're to preach the gospel. Jesus said, work while it's day, because when night comes, no man can work. So we need to get busy and stay busy. Amen? So let me read on. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. You see that in your Bible? Is it in your Bible? We shall not all sleep. That word, he's not talking about going to bed or stretching out on your recliner or couch and taking a nap. That's not what he's talking about. What he is saying is we will not all physically die. Not everybody's going in a casket. Not everybody's going to be buried. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but I love this part. But we shall all be changed. We're not all going to die, but we're all going to be changed. Because this body of mine cannot stand in the holy presence of God. It would be consumed. It has to be changed. Mortality has to become immortality. Amen. Look at verse 52. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. We are the ones that are alive when Jesus comes. We are the ones that are alive when he comes. And all of that's going to happen so fast, so quick. In the twinkling of an eye, we're going to be changed. Hallelujah. And let me tell you something, brothers and sisters. You ready for this? It could happen any time. We don't know the day or the hour, but can I say something? God has an appointed time. We don't know what it is, but what we're told to do is watch the signs of the time. The Bible is greater than any newspaper you ever read, any book you ever read, any television show you ever watch. in the moment of twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. Verse 53. For this incorruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when the corruptible has put on incorruption, and the mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Hallelujah. Here's the thing. We all need to believe God for long life. That's what he wants us to have. Long life, long healthy life. And we need to believe God for that. Stand on God's word for that. But we all know, because we're in an earthen body, it does get old, and at some point in time, it will no longer be able to house our spirit. You listening to me? There's coming a time when it can no longer house your spirit. But we can lengthen that time by standing on the word of God. Amen. Even when our bodies come are attacked, we can still stand on that on the word of God that declares to us, he shall renew our youth like the eagles. We need to look in the mirror and tell ourselves that you are being renewed like the eagles. Let yourself know, God's not done with me yet. Hallelujah. But there is coming a time when we will separate from the body. The soul and the spirit will separate from the body. But God has another body for us. A glorified body, an incorruptible body. A body that knows absolutely no pain. Think about that. Won't need any aspirins in heaven. Let me say it this way. Won't need any aspirins in your new body. Because it can't get sick. Amen. All right, let me move on. Praise the name of the Lord. So. So, verse 55, again, now it's almost like the Apostle Paul right here is boasting a little bit. You know? Oh, death, where is your sting? Oh, Hades or hell, where is your victory? Verse 56. The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But look at this. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. You see that? Bless the name of the Lord. Look at verse 58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, these are instructions to us. Therefore, my beloved brethren, what are we to be doing right now? Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, be immovable. You know, anybody know what immovable is? Cannot be moved. Cannot be moved. You cannot talk me out of what I believe. Amen. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always. Everybody say always.
Always.
Say it again.
Always.
Get that right down on the inside of you. Say always.
Always,
always abounding, not doing just enough to get by. Always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. We have anybody in church this evening? Glory to God. Now, I want to read to you verse 51 through 58 of the 15th chapter, 1 Corinthians, from the New Living Translation. I thought this was very interesting. So you may not have it, but you can listen to me. Or they may be able to follow me on the screen, but this is the New Living Translation. Beginning at verse 51, it says, "But let me reveal to you a wonderful secret. We will not all die, but we will all be transformed. It will happen in a moment, in the blink of an eye. When the last trumpet is blown, and when the trumpet sounds, those who have died will be raised to live forever. And we who are living will also be transformed. For our dying bodies must be transformed into bodies that will never die. Our mortal bodies must be transformed into immortal bodies." Verse 54. "Then, when our dying bodies have been transformed into bodies that will never die, this scripture will be fulfilled. Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? For sin is the sting that results in death, and the law gives sin its power. But thank God, he gives us victory over sin and death through our Lord Jesus Christ." Hallelujah. Verse 58. "So, my dear brothers and sisters, be strong and immovable. Always work enthusiastically." You see, well, amen. They're following me right here. "So, my dear brothers and sisters, be strong and immovable, always working enthusiastically." Anybody know what that means?
Excited,
not grumbling and complaining. But you're excited. You're excited about Jesus. You're excited about your salvation. You're excited about what he has done for you. So you want to serve him enthusiastically because of what he's done for you. So always work enthusiastically for the Lord. For you know that nothing you do for the Lord is ever useless. Doesn't matter how small it seems. It is, if it's done for the Lord, it is never useless. Glory be to God. Never useless. It's easy to gripe and complain because we have to work with other people. But we need to understand that we're all human. There may be some things you don't like about somebody else, but just remember this, there are some things that other folk don't like about you. Huh? None of us can sit up in church and say, I'm the only perfect one in the sanctuary. Absolutely not, none of us. And that's the reason God has called us to work together enthusiastically, work together, because we can't lose sight of who we're working for. It's the Lord. It's the Lord. It's the Lord. Hallelujah. Bless the name of the Lord. Isn't that good? Hallelujah. Glory to God. All right. I told you that I was going back to 1 Thessalonians. So let's do that right now. This time we're going to the fourth chapter. 1 Thessalonians, the fourth chapter. Now we read in the fifth chapter where God has not called us to wrath. Amen. Now, in the fourth chapter, let's begin reading at verse 13. But I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, that's those that have died, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. Let me stop right there. We're going to read on. Watch out for a trick of the devil. Now, I want to say something. Listen to me. Sometimes people mean well, but they're not helping you. They mean well, but they're not helping you. Now, if we lose a loved one, naturally, we're going to miss that loved one, and there'll be tears shed because of that loved one. But sometimes people will tell you, just go ahead and grieve, grieve, grieve. You got to grieve a certain amount of time. Well, we need to understand something. First of all, if your loved one is with the Lord and you know Jesus, you have the blessed hope of seeing them again. Amen. You're going to see them again. But there are some folks that have grieved and grieved and grieved and grieved, to they have literally ruined their health. You listening to me? Some of them have lost their minds. They can no longer. I've seen people like this. I mean, because they lost a loved one. And don't get me wrong, I'm not taking that lightly. I have loved ones that's gone. And I miss them, and I wish they were here, okay? So don't misunderstand what I'm saying. But can I help you with something? We have to understand, are you listening to me? We have to understand that God expects us to live on and not become a vegetable to the point where we are helpless, useless, because we're so overtaken with grief that we can't help ourselves and we can't help anyone else. Especially since we know what the Word of God tells us to do, which is cast all of our cares over on Him. The Word of God plainly tells us that He gives us. He's the peace giver. He is our peace that gives us peace that passes all understanding. You understand? I'm not making light of this. Y'all follow me? I'm very, very serious. We miss the ones that have gone on, but I care about the ones that's still living too. I want you to live your life out. Not sitting somewhere, not knowing who you are, not knowing where you are, simply because you've grieved yourself to that point. Amen. So, let me move right along here. Y'all good? You follow me? Thank you, Jesus. Verse 13 again, 1 Thessalonians 4. But I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. Look at somebody and tell them, we have hope.
We have hope.
Find somebody else and tell them, say, we have hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. Let me tell you something. Let me tell you something. If we're still here when Jesus come back to catch away the church, we're not going to have to wait till we get to heaven. We're going to meet our loved ones in the air. Because Jesus is bringing them back with him. See, that's our blessed hope. It's our blessed hope. Well, Pastor, what about my loved one that I'm not sure if they're saved, or I knew they didn't live for the Lord. Ain't a thing you can do about that. You just rest in the Lord. Amen. You just rest in the Lord. And by the way, let me tell you this. Some of our loved ones or friends or whoever that we think gonna be in hell, gonna surprise us when we get to heaven. Well, why do you say that? You never know what happened to a person just before they die. That's the reason we need to continue to preach the gospel and teach the word of God. Because sometimes, I've seen it over the years, sometimes a person just as rebellious, act like they're not listening, but there's a moment that came in their lives, all of a sudden they woke up. It might have been the last minute, but they woke up. I'm not saying this happened to everybody, but you know, I want to be surprised who I see in heaven that I thought might not be there. Because whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen. I remember a person one time wouldn't live right. Just did whatever he wanted to do. Folk would talk to him. You need to get your life right. You need to stop this. You need to stop the other. But one day in his life, he lost control of his vehicle. He's headed towards a big oak tree. And this is his testimony. He said, I cried out to God, God, have mercy on me. And God did. So you never know what happens to people just before they leave here. But we'll find out when we get over there. Praise God. Y'all still here? Let me finish reading this. Now I'm going to let you go. Verse 14. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God would bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep, those who have died. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. Somebody shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Shout it again.
Hallelujah.
Now verse 18 gives us some further instructions. Therefore we're to do what? Comfort one another with these words. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Comfort one another with these words. Let's be obedient to the word of God, all right? Let's be obedient to the word of God. Let's flow with him and rejoice that we have not been appointed to wrath. We have not been appointed to wrath. Glory to God. Father, we thank you for your word. And we thank you that your word will not return to you void.